Wow. Gooms to all of us. This is a special episode. Joined as always by Evan. We've got a hot stove edition and proud to be joined by the farmer of the butter barn, Matthew Walsh. Welcome, Matthew.
Welcome. Good morning. Thank you for having me. Allowing me to bring this butter for everyone.
Now before we get into the trades, the topic of the podcast, can you talk about the origin of the butter barn and how it all came to be?
Yeah. I think it was like 3 weeks ago. It was like a Friday night and Allie was out of town and I was so bored. And I was like, I'll play some Fortnite. And I landed at this one spot on the map that was called. And when you walk into the building, that song just starts playing. Come on down to the butter barn. And I absolutely just lost it. And I played for like 3 hours and I landed there every single time just to hear that music. And and now I say it like, so, I just walk around the house, like talking about the butter barn. And the other day I went downstairs and Allie didn't even know that I was down there. And Allie just starts saying, come on down to the butter barn in the kitchen by herself.
That's so good.
It was electric. But not now it has stuck. And I changed my team name when I got off to a slow start to AB at the pool, and I'm on a 2-game win streak. So after you beat me this week, congrats on the win already. I'll probably think about a name change to the Butter Barn, you know.
Oh, the Butter Barn has definitely taken the life of its own in fantasy. Walsh and I have had a probably 2-week-long negotiation that just completed, and we would exchange voice memos every morning, and Walsh would just be singing. I'll just wake up to Walsh singing Butter Barn on his way to work. It's the best. But I guess we could get right into it. Evan had a great idea of using the upgraded ESPN fantasy website to just sort of go trade by trade and put Walsh in the hot seat and evaluate all the trades that have taken place. It's been a crazy year of trades, and I think it'll bring some good content, winners and losers, and kind of some predictions on how the trades are going to pan out moving forward. Do we all have the page open?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it should be in the same order for everybody.
Yes.
So
first one, September 14th.
That is correct.
Yeah. And this one has been etched into the history of the KKC already.
I believe the first live trade during a live recording of the podcast. It couldn't have happened at a better time.
Oh, you know what? That was because we had a pre-show for it.
We did. That was all time. But we can get right into it. Walsh, first trade of the season was September 14th. Brendan sent Leonard Fournette and Cortland Sutton to Lou, and Lou traded away Justin Jefferson. I believe this is after his monster week.
39 points.
After the 40-point week.
To beat Smith.
That, I mean, looking back on it, that's probably like the worst trade of all time. But at the time, like, I think Cortland Sutton, I mean, I don't think anyone thought the Broncos would be the Broncos that they are right now. Like, they're in the darkest spot ever. Cortland Sutton stinks. So, and, but Justin Jefferson hasn't like done it as good like since as everyone thought. So, I don't know. I would give that trade probably, you know, a D. Looking back on it, not a great trade. I mean, I think
for Lou or from whose perspective?
For Lou. I mean, he still has Cortland Sutton, right?
He does.
Does he? I know he doesn't have Fournette anymore.
I have Fournette. he pretty much traded away Justin Jefferson to keep Cortland Sutton.
Imagine Lou's team, because obviously it took a few weeks, but now Damian Pierce and Breece Hall are both insane. Imagine Lou's team with those two guys and Justin Jefferson now.
And right now, Keenan Allen coming back. Has Keenan Allen been on his team the whole time?
He has, but he's been hurt.
If right now you saw Keenan Allen coming back with Justin Jefferson, where Damian Pierce and Breece Hall are, that would be a scary team.
It would be.
Yeah, I think that trade ended up being pretty lateral for Lou, to be honest. Because I think Fournette ended up better than I thought he would.
Yeah.
The trade made. To be fair, I think I would still give that a very low grade for Lou. There was a brief period where it looked like it was a really good trade for him. When Jefferson had that like 10-point week and then the 4-point week, and Fournette was kind of going crazy, but it just, no matter what, it never made sense to trade for another Broncos wide receiver when you already had Jerry Jeudy.
It's true,
but I will say Lou's team looks a lot better right now than
they do. It did
beginning of the year.
Lou had a great draft. He really did.
I wouldn't go that far.
I mean, it took a few weeks, but like the Breece Hall and Damian Pierce are looking like a very nice combo at the running back position.
Damian, yeah. Has been unreal. Yeah.
So,
what, Brian, when did you get Fournette?
I got him, I believe, probably 3 weeks ago. And, well, not even. I had one game with Lenny, and that was last week, and he had a good game, but it was a short-lived stint. He put up a – he had a nice touchdown. I think he had like a 21 or 22 point game and was able to ship him off for, I think, a pretty fair deal. So,
I mean, he has probably the craziest score line of the year this year in week 4 when he had -3 rushing yards, but he had 18 points.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Crazy. Okay.
All right.
The next trade is a little bit less of a blockbuster. And this one involves our own Ryan Rose. And it was Kareem Hunt, and it was – who's paying? Morin? So Morin traded Kareem Hunt to Ryan for DJ Moore and Darnell Mooney. Walsh.
Oof.
Wow. Leonard Fournette and then Kareem Hunt, and they're both on my team now.
All roads lead back to the Butterbarn.
I think that's a good trade, honestly. Darnell Mooney is on the Bears, and the Bears are so bad.
He's also on waivers right now in our league.
That is true. He's like the number one receiver on waivers at the moment.
Wow. I think at the beginning of the season, Kareem Hunt started pretty good, right?
He did.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good trade. DJ Moore. DJ Moore is good, but he's on the Panthers, and the Panthers are pretty bad. You just kind of never know what you're going to get with DJ Moore. And I feel like Kareem Hunt, you kind of know what you're going to get out of him, like 9 to 12 points every week, usually, unless it's last week. So I like that trade. Darnell Mooney, I mean, good player, but you're going to get those weeks where he gets 2 points, one catch, when Justin Fields only, like, attempts to throw, like, 9 times.
Mooney had so much hype coming into the year because he and Fields were like kind of vibing at the end of last season. It was just so frustrating. But he did have 10 targets last week, I think. So could be sneaky good.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ryan, that was a good trade for you because neither of those guys really have any value right now. Like DJ Moore, if he got traded, would probably catapult up the rankings. But right now, he's the 54th ranked wide receiver. That's terrible.
And the Panthers just gave away – they just got rid of Robbie Anderson, so, like, all the attention's going to be on DJ. Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
McCaffrey, I mean, if they're thinking about trading McCaffrey, are they going to play him a ton? Like, they don't want him to get hurt before they trade him.
That's true. That is true.
Could be dark times
ahead. Imagine McCaffrey gets traded to – like, what's the worst possible team McCaffrey could get traded to in terms of fantasy? Like the Giants. Like imagine Barkley and McCaffrey. Like you just take two of the top five running backs and just delete both of them.
That's a really tough question.
Or if you went to like a really shitty team like the Broncos or something.
Well, Broncos would actually be pretty sick, I have to say.
Interesting to theorize. But anyway, the next trade is this one is a little bit of a nothing trade in my eyes. Chris Olave to Ryan for Tony Pollard, and Billy traded away Olave, which is there's some emotional ties there as a Saint.
There are.
I think this trade is kind of a wash, I would say. I mean, Pollard has a lot of value in case Elliott goes down. And Olave has been good, but hurt. So this one's been, like, I think fair on both sides, but not hasn't made any, like, any huge waves in the league.
Olave's been good.
Yeah. I think he's been hurt the last few weeks, no?
He missed last week. That was his first missed game, but he's back tonight. I think it was mutually beneficial because, obviously, Billy has Zeke, so nice insurance. And I was desperate for a receiver after moving Mooney and Moore. And Olave was really good from that point on. So I thought it was fair and a win for both teams.
No, I take it back. I think Ryan, you won the trade. I didn't realize Olave's been very good.
He's been like, steady.
Very, very consistent too. Like hasn't had less than 11 points since he had 9 in week 1, which he's a rookie. It's fair. I don't think you would have started him that week anyway. And then since then, his lowest is 11 and his highest is 23.
Just getting a ton of targets because the receiving core has been very banged up for the Saints.
You guys have to go on without me because there's some sort of alarm going on in my apartment, and I don't know what it is, so I have to go figure it out.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, if you get it figured out,
do you hear that ringing?
I hear it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to figure this out.
Yeah, we love you on the pod, but you don't need like if the building's burning down.
Yeah, like carbon monoxide. I don't know.
If you get it sorted, just try the link, and maybe it'll let you join back in.
All right.
See ya.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I think that's our first live exit on the pod.
First emergency exit. I hope all is safe at the Walsh household.
Yeah. Thoughts and prayers to Walsh right now.
It's always safety first at Kelly's. We support our league members, and sometimes nature calls. So, wishing the best for Walsh and his building. All right. Well.
All right. So, should we just keep going?
Keep plugging along, I guess.
All right. Okay. So the next trade.
A little spicy, this one.
Yeah, this one had some impact. This one is AJ Dillon and Jalen Hurts from Mike. You're on a little bit of a streak here. This one also includes you. For Javonte Williams. So, again, the trade was A.J. Dillon and Jalen Hurts for Javonte Williams.
This one...
How do you feel about this one looking back? I mean, obviously.
Feel great. Great about it. All things considered, even with my record, like, the fact and... Feel very, very bad for Javonte and what happened after the trade, but this was a very lucky strike of good fortune in a season where I haven't had much to this point because Jalen obviously performed great, but didn't lead to a ton of wins, but he helped me just reshape my roster this past week. So this was – I really can't complain about too much that's happened because this was a godsend that this took place.
And wasn't this precipitated by an injury to your quarterback?
It was. So drafted Trey Lance with high hopes.
Kind of
a late flyer, and then he had the air cast on in week one. So or week two, excuse me. So that was unfortunate.
Yeah, but, so that actually – I mean, that really worked out because you got Javonte Williams off your team, and he ended up tearing his ACL a few weeks later. I don't think he was even on Mike's team for that long before he traded his ACL. He tore his ACL.
That was very unfortunate.
Okay, so then the next trade – oh, my God, this is also you. This one is – I mean, not a great trade for Lou, I don't think. But it was Gerald Everett for Devin Singletary, straight up.
Lou is desperate for tight ends, but Gerald has actually been really good overall.
I mean, he had two good weeks. So his points are 14, 13, 4, 17, 1, 7. I feel like you could get that production off the waiver wire every week from tight end.
That's fair.
Unfortunately.
It's fair.
I feel like, honestly, it's not worth – like, the tight end position this year has been, like, Kelsey, Mark Andrews. I mean, Kittle hasn't really been that good. I think he had a good game recently. Goddard's been good. Ertz has actually been very good.
Ertz has been good.
I don't think he's had a single game under 10 points yet.
Higbee has been great.
But I would still put it at, like, Kelsey and Andrews are in, like, a separate tier. Like, you could almost flex them. They're so good. And then the players that we just mentioned, like the Ertz, Goddard, Higbee tier, and then kind of everybody else.
True.
I don't think there's anybody else that's really been, like, consistently. And even those guys that we mentioned, I mean, maybe Ertz is in like, a 1B tier to the 1A tier of Andrews and Kelsey. But everybody else is susceptible to, like, one-point weeks. There's really been nobody consistent.
It's a wasteland.
And then to that point, trading Everett for Devin Singletary. I feel like Devin Singletary has been pretty serviceable.
He's been good.
I personally wouldn't, like, feel great starting him every week, but as, like, a bye week fill-in or as an injury fill-in, I think, I mean, he could pop off for, like, 15 points, 20 points. I mean, he's going to have some bad games, but he's almost a guy that you have to start him in the games that Buffalo is going to be competitive in.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
Because they've just been blowing out so many teams, and then they just stick around for a few quarters, and none of their big guys other than Diggs and Allen get points.
True.
Okay. The next one is
this is a big one.
We're taking a trip down to the Butter Barn.
Going to the Butter Barn.
So this one, I think, and obviously I might be biased here, but I would say this trade kind of set off many events for what were soon to come.
100% agree.
Due to the volume of players involved, and then also the quality of players. This was kind of I don't know a good analogy. Are you familiar with the works of J.K. Rowling and her critically acclaimed Harry Potter series?
I am not. I watched I think I watched the first one, but I'm not like a fan, like a big fan. I enjoyed it, but I'm not like one of the diehards.
Okay, well, spoiler is that Harry Potter's parents die, like, almost right away.
Wow.
And then that pretty much is, like, the rest of the book. You know, everything comes off of there. So this is, like, this trade was Harry Potter's parents dying. And then the season has unfolded thus far.
Yeah, this was the domino that set off everything else.
Yeah, I agree. And so I think without further ado, we might as well get into it. So this was, and I hope everybody's sitting down because it's going to take a while. This was Debo, and the players in this was Walsh and myself, Evan. So this was Walsh trading me, Debo Samuel, Josh Jacobs, Hunter Renfrow, and Joe Burrow for Terry McLaurin, Joe Mixon, Melvin Gordon, and Derek Carr.
I mean,
I don't think Walsh is going to like the grade he gets for this trade.
Respectfully?
In a vacuum. Because I don't think any of these players are still on his team.
This was just like team A, team B. This was a fleecing.
Yeah, I agree.
This is a fleecing. Respectfully to the Butter Barn, but this just it just happened at the wrong time for Walsh, because I think all the players that you received, Ev, were kind of struggling to this point. Granted, Hunter Renfro hasn't done a whole lot, but I mean, Burrow's turned it around. Jacobs has been amazing. Obviously, he's moved. And then Debo has become a staple in your lineup.
Yeah, I mean, Debo he was kind of the spark plug for the revolution of my lineup, to where I went from a very running back heavy team to really one that's centered around my wide receivers. Getting him, kind of, I said, oh, you know, let's go all in on the wide receivers. And he was kind of the first piece of that made me make that change. But yeah, I think when it happened, I felt good about it. And that this trade has aged very, 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 very well for me. I mean, Debo, Josh has been great all year, pretty much. Josh Jacobs, if I'm being honest, I kind of regret trading him now. I mean, I got Jamar Chase, who's awesome, but Josh Jacobs is looking like he's going to be locked in as a top 10 running back.
Yeah.
Hunter Renfro was concussed when I got him, and I think he's still concussed. I think he's finally about to play his first game since I traded for him, so he's just kind of been chilling. And then Burrow has been a huge upgrade on their car, to be honest.
Yeah, that's a win. That's a win. That's a clear win.
And then what I gave up, if you look at it, is like pretty shitty. Like, McLaurin has not been good this year. No. Like, that they just spread the ball around too much. Joe Mixon, Walsh was complaining about him very quickly after this trade. He is what he is. He's going to end the year, if he stays healthy, as like a top 12 running back, but yep, obviously not going to return the value that you expect. Melvin Gordon has come back to me. You know, drafted him, sent him away, but you know, he's like a horse where like you slap a horse on the butt and they find their way home. Like, you slap Melvin Gordon on the butt and he like finds his way home.
He's a boomerang.
So that's kind of what happened there. And then for anybody that hasn't seen the video montage that the team Twitter put out, it's emotional. You're going to need your tissues when you watch it, but it kind of signifies the value he provides to us in the locker room.
You got to have your guys. Got to have
your guys. Yeah, more than anything else, this league is characterized by getting your guys. Like, the team composition year to year outside of rookies is very similar. Like, there's a lot of guys in this league who seem to always end up on the same teams.
It is true.
So that was a big trade in the league. And then the next one, so we're going back to you. You traded Chase Edmonds for Curtis Samuel. I feel like both of these guys kind of flamed out since the trade.
Yeah, this trade was another one where, I mean, I was frustrated with Edmonds. B. Smith had a need. I really was just frustrated with my draft, so I was trying to just sort of wipe my hands clean of my wrongdoings. And I was able to get Curtis in return, but he hasn't done much, and I think I quickly moved him a couple weeks later.
Yeah, Curtis Samuel came out as almost like Debo Samuel, like the 2022 version of Debo Samuel. He was like rushing, he was scoring touchdowns, like running the ball, catching the ball. And Chase Edmonds has kind of not done much. I mean, I thought it was a good trade for you at the time, but now both of those players are not very relevant.
Yep.
What has Samuel done of late? Yeah. 7, 12, and 2 points.
Not great.
Not the best.
Not great.
And then the next trade involves myself. And I think this was, I mean, this has seemed like a year where there have been a lot of trades and then the players involved get moved quickly again. It seems that's happened a few times. I mean, obviously Fournette has been on like 3 or 4 teams this year. Melvin Gordon has circled the wagon. There have been a lot of guys that have been moved. And then this trade that I'm about to say, Josh Jacobs was one of the bigger pieces in it. And I had only gotten 8 days prior. So this trade was Devonta Smith and Josh Jacobs for Jamar Chase.
This is tough.
This trade, I think, has aged well for both of us, if I'm being honest.
I would agree. But if you had to pick one team that won the trade, who would you say?
like in a vacuum, just looking at the players involved in this and not what was done to them after the trade?
I guess if both teams were to retain the players they received, like from this point on, just like how it's worked out points wise.
I would almost say that Goddard won this trade.
I think I agree.
Because I think at the time I was like, I'm getting the best player in this deal in Jamar Chase. But I mean, based on what Josh Jacobs has done the last few weeks, I mean, he might be the better, like the best player involved in the trade.
And Smith has been really good too.
Yeah, he had that bad. He had like two bad weeks, I think, this year. And then other than that, he's been he had a 0 point week in the very first week of the season against Detroit, where that was obviously an anomaly. And then he had a 4 point week against Jacksonville in that really bad weather game in Philadelphia week four. But other than that, his lowest is 15 points, and he's had one boom game of 30 where he had 169 yards.
Wow.
So I think, unfortunately for myself, like I love having Jamar Chase. Like I love him as a player. I think he's like that. Like it's really fun to watch him and Joe Burrow, and they're kind of like, they're like cool. Like they wear each other's like jerseys and stuff. Like it's like, they're a fun, he's a fun guy to root for.
Agreed.
But yeah, I think looking at just the fantasy players involved, I probably lost this one. So kudos to Chris. But the next one is – okay, so this is actually another – like we said, that how the trade Walsh and I made was kind of a domino, had a domino effect on the rest of the league. Here's another piece that was in that trade that's now in the next one, and it is Walsh trading Joe Mixon to Mike for Darren Waller and Mike Williams.
Oof.
I would say, I don't know about this one.
Waller's disappointed.
And he has not been good.
And Mike Williams is like the definition of boomer bust.
Yeah. Mike Williams points this year, 3, 25, 8, 19, 23, 3. Like insane. That's either like won you your week or lost you your week every week.
This one's like tough to pick in a vacuum because you kind of have to see the full roster to see if it like truly makes sense. But I mean, Mike gets the more consistent player, but if Waller pans out, and who knows, maybe Keenan Allen returning will help Mike Williams a little bit. I don't know. I think I would lean Mike here.
Yeah. I mean, and
if I had to pick.
I don't know what week this would correlate to. Like, I don't know if October 4th was week 3 or 4 or whatever. But Mixon has had a he's been, like, consistent but not crazy. I think Walsh traded him in between week 4 and 5. So since then, he's had 11 and 16 points. I mean, that's fine. Like at this point, Mixon isn't going to be, I don't think, a top five guy, but I would definitely rather have him in my lineup than like Etienne, who I'm starting as my RB2, or somebody similar. So I would give this one to Mike.
Plugging right along.
The next one is okay. Here we go again.
This is a great one.
Another player from the original trade with Walsh. This is Jack Panagos trading Josh Reynolds, who's kind of an afterthought in this trade, and Jonathan Taylor, the number one overall pick, for Josh Jacobs. This was very controversial at the time, just shock value when you read the names, but this trade has aged very well.
It has. It really has. I was going to say similar to the Justin Jefferson trade, because in those first few weeks, Leonard and Cortland actually helped Lou a good bit, and the perception changed a bit on that trade. And I think it's very, very similar here where, I mean, the groupie was firing on all cylinders after this trade went through. But like you said, I think, I mean, Jack walks away the winner in this trade.
Josh Jacobs has had his bye since this trade was made, but previous to that, his last 3 weeks have been 14, 34, and 29.
It's unbelievable.
So he's exploded in this second half of the year so far. When I saw the trade, I immediately was like, what is Jack doing? That's such a bad trade.
Me too. But, hand up moment.
But then you take a step back. I think like the first few texts that I sent out were like, literally, what is he doing? But then you take a step back and you look at like the temperature of the room at the time. And Jonathan Taylor was, I think he had just had that ankle injury. The verdict was kind of still out on how much time he was going to miss. And then and Jack desperately needed a running back. And it just so happened that Josh Jacobs ended up being a guy that was peaking at the right time. And Jonathan Taylor, I think we're still waiting to see him come back. I don't think he's played since that injury. Although the report was that he is going to play this week, that he is back. So
that'll be interesting. But it's also interesting that JT is no longer – we'll get to it, actually. We'll get to that in the coming trades.
Yeah. Well, like I said, this year has been a very interesting year with trades where it seems like the same guys are just getting traded over and over and over again.
I feel like you're less attached to someone you receive in a trade versus
that's such a good point. That's such a good point. Like, you know, you've gone that far without them, so it's easier to say goodbye. As callous and as cruel as it is.
It's a business, after all.
You took the words out of my mouth. All right. The next one also involves Jack. So he pretty much had a fire sale on his running backs. He traded James Robinson for Curtis Samuel.
I mean, we don't have to spend too much time on this one.
I mean, this one ended. I feel like are either of these guys on either of your teams anymore?
No, neither.
Whose team is? No, he's still on Jack's team.
No, that's right.
But he has not done much. And James Robinson was the definition of a regression candidate, and he has not done anything since then.
It's true.
So I guess we can move right along to the next trade. So, Ryan, this one.
Bless you. Bless you.
It seems like your name has been all over these trades. So this one is also you, this next one. And now we are getting into trades that happened over the last 10 days.
Yep.
So this was once again involving Lou.
Yep.
And this was you trading A.J. Dillon and A.J. Brown to Lou for Jerry Jeudy and Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, this one, I mean, obviously very tough to move away from the Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown stack, which – I was excited about long term, but I was really in need of a running back. I couldn't really wait any longer for Swift to come back. So I had to find a solution in the interim. And I knew that Lou would have interest. We always talked about AJ. Lou and I always have great conversations about trades. We'll send a bunch of offers to each other, and a lot of them get declined and discussed. But this was a very cordial conversation. And I don't know. I'm excited about Jeudy long term. I feel like, I mean, it's really just him and Cortland Sutton. If Russ can somehow figure it out, like, I mean, there was a play this past week with the Broncos where Jeudy was wide open going down the field and Russ underthrew him by like 10 yards. So I don't know. I'm holding out that Jeudy can get some better throws. And Leonard, at the time, I was excited to get him because he's starting to trend up. But obviously tough to lose A.J. Brown, and then A.J. Dillon's just a nice, similar to Kareem Hunt, but maybe not quite as good, but you can kind of play him here and there. But I just needed someone that I could plug and play into my lineup.
Yeah, A.J. Brown has really come through this year as like one of the more reliable wide receivers, like 7 targets as a floor every week. That's pretty good. I don't know who I would say is the winner for this one.
This feels very fair to me because
– yeah.
AJ and Leonard are both reliable. AJ Dillon, is nice guy to have. Just you never know what happens. And then Judy is just more of a stash and play him on bye weeks if you need to.
Yeah, if I had to give a winner, if only because of the further implications this trade had down the line, I would say you won this trade. But it's close. I'm not saying Lou lost this trade. I'm saying you won, if that makes sense. Well, you know what? This was a win-win-win.
Yeah, I think this is a mutually beneficial trade, which is what you aim for when you go into a trade discussion.
Yeah, you won, Lou won, and the league won as a result of this trade. Okay. Oh, wait, did we skip one?
Well, the Curtis Samuel one didn't get processed until...
Oh, that's weird.
Okay. That was a commissioner error. I didn't do it soon enough.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's... It's a good, like, it's better that we process these early. Like, I think that's a good, like, I obviously it doesn't matter if it's like a day later or whatever, but I feel like the ESPN, the default time for turnaround on trades is crazy.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I guess if like there's more leagues where people actually veto, it makes sense to give everybody time to like vote or not. But I mean, we everybody knows this. The league stance on vetoing.
No veto.
Yeah. Unless there's like if you veto a trade, that means that you don't think those people should be in the league next year.
Yeah. It's blatant collusion.
They're colluding. Yeah. Okay. The next trade is, you know, some more players that were involved in previous trades. This was Chris trading Jonathan Taylor and Josh Reynolds to EY for Clyde Edwards-Helaire and CD Lamb.
I mean, we're so close to these trades. I think the jury is very much out. The jury is out.
Well, I don't know about that. I like this trade for EY more.
It's true. EY's roster is, I think, better set up to make. It's crazy to say it's a risk for Jonathan Taylor, but if JT pays off, I think EY obviously ends up winning this trade. But, I mean, CeeDee Lamb has turned out to be really solid, too, after a slow start.
Yeah, he's been good. I think in this trade, though, like Jonathan Taylor has such higher potential than everybody else that's included that I think EY definitely won this trade. Like, I don't know what Chris's roster was really looking for, where he thought he wanted to get rid of Jonathan Taylor. Like, did he need wide receiver help? I guess so. Maybe. Because now, I mean, he has CeeDee Lamb in his starting lineup, but he's starting Montgomery and Stevenson at running back. So he's not even starting Clyde, who has not been good.
His arrow is trending down, it appears.
Yeah. He came out, like, he started the season like what everybody thought he was going to be when he was first drafted, and that has quickly reversed. Okay, the next trade. Oh, my God. Nobody wants James Robinson. I swear, this guy has been on more teams than anyone. This was, once again, you and Billy. It was Rashad White for James Robinson. What was the rationale here?
After acquiring Lenny... there was the one game where Rashad was pretty involved, so I just wanted to act quick and get the insurance. Obviously, that's irrelevant now with the trades that have taken place, but he's still a nice guy to have on the bench. And similar for Billy, like, God forbid anything happens to ETN. I know it's a sensitive subject. You have him on your team, but he's a nice guy to have, even though he's probably being phased out a touch, but still a nice guy to have on your roster in a spot start.
Yeah, I thought, because Billy keeps, full disclosure, Billy keeps sending me trades of James Robinson for Cordarrelle Patterson. And what is giving me pause on acquiring James Robinson is, I disagree. I don't think he's being phased out. I think his first 3 weeks were just very fortunate. And he's not going to have those weeks really consistently. Like, His carries the first 3 weeks were 11, 23, and 17. So obviously 23 and 17 is good. But then since then it's been 8, 10, and 12. So it's not like they've gone down to like giving him like 5 carries a game or something, and Etienne has the backfield all to himself, but he just never gets targets. Like his most receptions in a game is 3, and everything, I mean, he said 1, 2, 3, 0, 2, 1.
True.
So I just don't think he's like, I think he's a better real life player than he is a fantasy player this year specifically, because he's been a great fantasy player in years past. But this year it seems like they mostly use him to like soften the defense. So they're fine with giving him 12 carries for like 3.5 yards a carry, and then letting Etienne get the chunk yards. And obviously I would rather have the guy that's getting the chunk yards, assuming that they're not going into the red zone or having a lot of goal line carries, because I don't think that Jaguars offense is like that great, where having the goal line back is that beneficial. And then obviously I'd rather have Cordell Patterson when he gets back than what this version of James Robinson is.
That's true. Fair.
So I think that was, I get what you wanted with the Rashad White, the insurance, but it is obviously a moot point now. Okay, so we have another one that was processed a little late. All right, now here's another mega trade. And obviously this one, very early days on this trade, only happened 2 days ago. But, you know, we're doing an exhaustive review, so I might as well read it off. This trade was AB at the pool, our own Matthew Walsh, trading Melvin Gordon, Tua, Austin Eckler, and Amon-Ra to, you've heard his name before, folks, Ryan Rose, Kareem Hunt, Jalen Hurts, Gabe Davis, and Leonard Fournette. Ryan, why don't you give us your thoughts here? Because if I were you, I would have been very happy after this trade.
Very, very excited about it. Mostly because of the trade that took place afterwards. Granted, it was much less significant. Because I think the riskiest piece that I received, outside of, not that Melvin Gordon is risky, but for the ones that I was really targeting, Tua. I think Tua can be excellent for fantasy. He just has to stay healthy. Austin Eckler's turned it around since a slow start. He's been amazing. Amon-Ra coming off of injury. Detroit's been kind of a boon for fantasy football this year, and he's been awesome. So kind of fills the void that A.J. Brown left me. And then in terms of the players that I shipped off, Kareem Hunt is great for Walsh to have because he is Chubb. I mean, and if there's a slight chance that Kareem gets moved, let's say the Browns lose another game, they could be in a sell mode and Kareem could get to a team where he can finally be the guy, and all of a sudden Walsh is cooking. Jalen Hurts, obviously, I think for me, if Jalen's bye was later in the year, I probably wouldn't have moved him, but I'm just so desperate to like try and win now. I had to do it. And then Gabe Davis, who I think is really trending up, I was okay saying goodbye to him just because he feels still a little bit boomer bust to me. And then Leonard Fournette, I just didn't have enough. I mean, obviously, he's great. But to get Eckler in return, I was happy with that transaction.
Yeah. I would say looking at the pieces here, that I think this was a better trade for you than Walsh. Especially given that you made this trade kind of out of need. Like Jalen Hurts going on his bye. And usually when trades are made like out of necessity, I feel like you get a slightly downgraded return just because your hand is kind of forced, so you don't have as much negotiating power. But in this case, it not out of absolute necessity, but you know, you had roster reasons for making the trade, and I think you still got a very good haul. I mean, Austin Eckler is the number one running back right now. He's like ranked number one. And he did get off to a slow start, but like his slow start was 10 points, 12 points. Like it's not like he was, you know, putting up goose eggs or anything.
That's true.
But I think you got the best player in the deal. And I think Amon-Ra is kind of like, was he hurt? Or
he came back and was like limited in that game where I think he had 5 points.
Yeah.
So he was on a little bit of a snap count, maybe not as involved, but coming off the bye, he should be rested and healthy. So I'm excited to throw him in there, see what happens.
Yeah, and then if you look at it, so going to the next trade was I acquired Melvin Gordon for Jared Goff and Juju Smith-Schuster. So if you take that trade and you make it Goff, Juju, Eckler, Amon-Ra, and Tua for Gabe Davis, Fournette, Hunt, and Jalen Hurts, then I think that trade looks even better.
I agree, and I'm not saying because I think it's bad for Walsh. I think Walsh's team is already in a good spot just with his record, and Jalen Hurts, obviously, after this week, having him, I mean, they have a really soft schedule, I think, moving forward. So, I mean, I really do think it's both teams, I think, improved, but I'd like the players that I got in return.
Yeah, I you're right. I don't think this was like a terrible – I don't think Walsh got fleeced or anything like that. Like, he got good players back. Like, Fournette's been great. I think Hunt has a lot of value that could yet come if he gets traded or, God forbid, something happens to Chubb. And Walsh has Chubb, right?
He does.
So then that also helps. So then Kareem has even more value because, God forbid, something does happen to Chubb, then you slot in Kareem Hunt. And, I mean, this guy's a former All-Pro.
Yep.
So you really don't lose anything there. So it's security, and he's also, you know, a good piece to have. And then for me, you know, my small role in this is I was, you know, over the moon to get Melvin Gordon back, even though I had traded him away earlier in the year. Obviously, his situation is different now versus when I traded him because Javonte Williams had been hurt in the interim. I don't think Melvin's going to have, like, a great rest of the year or anything, but I needed a running back depth. He's an emotional guy for me. So I'm glad to have him.
You got your guy back, and that's all that counts.
Yeah, and I, like, for me, like, you were kind of, like, I was getting worried that this trade would not have gone through unless Waddle was included, and I really didn't want to give him up. I actually, like, ended up regretting even saying his name as a potential trade piece. But I'm glad we were able to overcome our differences and make that trade go through. I mean, I think I obviously overpaid significantly. Like, this was not a good trade for me, but it was a locker room move, and we'll be better for it.
I think both sides walked away happy with the result with this last trade, which is the goal. So,
yeah, definitely. I mean, when the day Melvin Gordon retires, you like maybe the I don't know if how he feels about the Chargers right now, but I would sign him to a 1-day contract with my fantasy team just so he retires a member of whatever my team name is that year.
Well, a goblin mode great,
Melvin. Yeah, Gordon. he really has been. I mean, I don't think I've ever actually won a championship. I don't think he was ever on one of my championship teams. I think he was on my team the year that I lost to Danny in 2019. But he was great that year, and he's been a great piece for me. So, I don't know. Do you want to go through just the matchups very quickly? Just, you know, one or two points?
Yeah, we can just – maybe even not even predictions, but just talking through just kind of the landscape – of the matchups and what they can mean moving forward. Yeah,
the implications.
Correct.
Okay. So do you want to start? We'll go off my screen.
Yeah, it's perfect.
All right. So obviously I'm at the top. I'm playing Chris, who is actually in first place right now.
This is a game of the week.
Yeah, I would say that this is a big game. This is a big game. Obviously it's going to get started off right tonight in a few minutes. Kyler going against the Saints. I would be extremely upset if he has a good game against the New Orleans Saints. I'd probably never celebrate Mardi Gras again if he blows up tonight. But I think Chris's team is good. He's deserving of being in first place right now. But this is a massive game for the rest of the year and even for right now. I mean, I'm 4-2. Both of us are like have breathing room. I think we're both at this point projected to make the playoffs. But it is kind of a, a, a ranked matchup, if you will.
I mean, this is a huge game for the league as a whole, because things can get very tight if you get done.
Yeah, so I think where does it say the points? So Chris has not many points for. So he's really holding his number one spot based pretty much off of record alone. I mean, his points against is insane.
Yeah, I have to stop looking at that, honestly.
Like, well, I didn't actually realize this. And I guess it's better because Jake has a lot of points for it as well, so it's maybe more valid. But Jake has 584 points against, which is very low. And then Chris has 570 points against, which is embarrassingly low. And nobody else has less than 612. So those two are really in a league of their own.
It's incredible. I give Billy's team a lot of credit, and I think that might be – is that the next matchup you see or no?
No.
Okay.
The next matchup I see is Lou versus Jake.
Got it.
And Lou, Jake, I would say, you know, as always, I think it's worth mentioning, Jake, the roster move count for Jacob Stockel stands at zero right now.
Dang, that can't be true.
It stands at zero. Under moves, it says zero.
That's unbelievable.
Stockel. For the nightmare himself.
It's pretty amazing.
It is. What does that mean? That he hasn't even made like a waiver claim? Does he still have the same bench? There's no way.
Right? I don't.
I guess I know because he still has a backup kicker. He still has a backup defense, and he has a backup quarterback.
He just drafts for the year, and that's it.
And he has three tight ends. So I think that's what it's been this whole time.
That is That's unreal to me.
That's really crazy, but this is a good matchup. Very even the projections. I know you can't put too much stock in projections, but the projections are good right now. For Lou, 107 to 106.
Yeah, I think. Keenan Allen. If he comes back, honestly, I'll be shocked if he plays because I think they're going to be on a bye next week. So, I don't know. I feel like that's a little bit risky. Like, why not wait the extra
week? Yeah, but
come back fully good to go. But
if he does play, this is such a good matchup for him. However, I think this has what is it called? Decoy game. Written all over it for Keenan Allen. They send him out there. They run his routes. He runs his routes. He's on the field. The defense has to guard him, but they never have any intention of getting him the ball.
True. Very well could be.
So if I'm Lou, I don't know if I start him or not. That would be very difficult. I mean, he doesn't have too many options. I did see actually on Lou's team, the Packers are all in on Chase Claypool, apparently.
Really?
Which that would be pretty cool if he goes there.
Yeah, that would be cool. I like that. All right. Moving on down.
Next is – okay, here we go. So next is Ryan versus Walsh.
This is a must win.
Yeah, this is can't lose, must win. Whatever qualifiers you want to put on it for you, that's – this game.
I mean, I have to win. There's really no other analysis this game, unfortunately. I have to get it done. There's no excuse.
Yeah. I mean, God. I think it's – even looking at the roster compositions of between the two of you, it's very evenly matched. Like, it seems like you have, like, Tua Carr at quarterback. Like, those two are – I mean, I think Carr is more of like a standard, like 15 to 20 points a week guy at this point versus Tua. He had that one blow up game. But then you both have two very good running backs. Your wide receivers are good, but I wouldn't say you have like any of like the top guys a wide receiver. And then even like your flex, like Juju and George Pickens are like the same player. So
yeah. Actually, I'm very tempted to roll Judy back out there, but I'm not going to.
I don't know. I feel like the Jets have a kind of an underrated defense.
They do.
And their offense isn't necessarily very high scoring. So I think the Broncos would be fine with, you know, leaning on the run game a little bit and just kind of, you know, making it a time of possession battle.
It's true. Whip scares me in his first game back, but
but you gotta assume he's healthy at this point. I mean, what has it been, like 3-4 weeks for him?
4 weeks.
I don't know. Swift was for me a frustrating player when I had him last year, because he was always questionable every week, never practiced on Wednesdays. And then in the games that he would play, it was like he would have 4 points going into the fourth quarter, and he would somehow end up with like 17 or 18 or 25 or whatever. And like, obviously you don't complain about that, but it's at what cost? Like, the stress that he brings is, it's exhausting.
Right.
But Walsh is not projected many points. Is he missing somebody? He's projected 99.
I'm going to our matchup right now.
It doesn't say for him. Am I not looking at the script?
Waller's listed as out at the moment.
Oh, okay. So that's why. He's got 0 points projected. And then I guess he would slot in Schultz.
Schultz he's got.
So, I mean, I guess the projections are in Walsh's favor, but, you know, that's why we play the game. Interesting, too.
Why we play the game?
You guys have had quite a few trades, and actually your trade was just this week. So, usually you don't see trades between opponents for that week, but here we are.
Made it work.
Okay, and next we are going to another 1-5 team. So another can't lose, must win for Jack, and he is playing Mike.
Big game, actually.
Big game, huge game. I mean, I would say at this stage of the season, obviously there are games that have more of an impact on the standings. But pretty much all the games are big because everybody's still in it.
True. Well said.
So, in this case, I mean, I think I loved Jack's team after the draft. I would have actually traded teams with him if I could have. I love his team. So, it's very shocking to me that he's 1-5. I think – is he the one that has, like, a laughably high points against? Yeah, 785. That sucks. Really sorry.
Not good.
That's insane. That is 300 points more than Goddard. That's like 3 whole weeks of fantasy extra that Jack has played.
Yeah, I sent the averages in the
that's insane.
Ruby. Jack is averaging 130 points against, and Chris is averaging like 100.
Oh my god. It's gotta be less than 100 for Chris, because we've had 6 weeks and he's under 600.
Do you hear me still?
Yeah, I can hear you. Why? What are you doing? Did you just get into the bathtub?
No.
I'm going to hold up and watch the Saints game with Billy, and I didn't realize how fast the time was moving.
Yeah, we've been on this pod for 74 minutes. I don't think we've ever had a mobile podcast recording.
It might connect to my car, and God forbid it disconnects. We'll find out in 2 seconds.
Yeah, I would say that I would continue the podcast myself at that point, kind of a last of the Mohicans situation. But I think it cuts out if you leave, because you're the host.
Let's see. I think we're still good at the moment.
Well, did you connect to your car? Oh, God.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I mean, it sounds like you're in a car.
Yeah, I'm
Are
in
you
a car.
Connected?
All right. Yeah, we can keep going.
All right, cool. Okay, well, I guess this is this has been a very dynamic episode. We're like the Navy SEALs right now, like land, air, and sea. I mean, well, nobody's gone into the water yet, but
hopefully not.
So obviously you do not have the matchups open in front of you. So I will I will go to the next one, and that is EY versus B. Smith. So I would say this is actually kind of a must win for EY.
This is a 2-4 versus 4-2, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, you are correct.
Big game.
Huge game, because I think EY needs this game. He's on a little bit of a losing streak, 2 games in a row. He needs this game to really flip the script. A lot of people are saying his points are fake. I think he needs this win to kind of put himself back into that top tier of teams. And I do think – I would say his team is – his team looks better now than it did in the beginning of the season to me, to these eyes. Like, Jonathan Taylor and Kelsey is a pretty awesome combo. And then I don't know – oh, it doesn't show the bench. But I feel like EY's team is better than just Jonathan Taylor and Kelsey. Does he have people on bye? Oh, Cooper Kupp. Am I kidding? So, and he has Cooper Kupp on bye. So, when he has his full complement of Jonathan Taylor, Travis Kelsey, and Cooper Kupp, that's really awesome. So,
yeah, I don't think we were when the big controversy of EY's points being fake was coming about, I don't think we were all wrong in the sense that I think everyone was looking at Clyde Edwards-Helaire as the source of that. But now that he's been moved and, I mean, he's got Jonathan Taylor, I feel like EY's team is looking very stout at the moment.
Well, I'm not going to get ahead of myself. I still think, you know, there's a chance EY's points are fake. I'm just putting my cards on the table. There's a chance they're still fake. But
well, EY, if you're listening, I can't wait to see the response.
And then for B. Smith, he's starting Latavius Murray, which is not – I would not feel great about that. B. Smith's team, I'm not sure what to make of it, really. Like, he's got guys that are coming back now, like DeAndre Hopkins, and he's got guys that are yet to come back, like Elijah Mitchell. So his team could look a lot different in the next few weeks, you know, depending on how they fare. But, yeah, I mean, for B. Smith, you definitely don't want to go down to 2-5. Because depending on how things shake out with, like, your game and Jack's game, he could be looking at last place. Although I don't know what the point situation is there.
Yeah, I think I'm last in points 4 at the moment.
Yes, you are. But, upsettingly, and I'm sure you're not going to want to hear this, you are only 22 points behind Chris in points 4.
Yes, and I'm second in the league in points against, which I should not be paying attention to, but unfortunately,
yeah,
you grasp at straws when you're at the bottom of the league.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that, like, in good for Billy, because he's third in points against, but he's leading in points 4, so he's kind of putting his money where his mouth is right now. You would have a significant amount of points to make up on B. Smith. 34. So you would have to win and outscore him by 34 points, and of course he would have to lose, and then you would jump him. But honestly, between the four of you, so you, Jack, Lou, B. Smith, this is a big week. We could see a shakeup at the bottom of the league standings.
Huge week. It really is. This is pivotal.
There's everything to play for still. And now what was Chris when he won the championship? Was he 1-5? Was he 2-5? And then
slow start.
Yeah, and then there was the year that Danny won. He started like 1-5 or 1-4 or 1-6 or something really bad, where it was very unlikely he would even make the playoffs, and then he went on an insane run. So anyway, it's been done before. This is a momentum driven league. So nobody's out of it yet. And then that brings us to our last matchup, and that is the person you're going to see right now, Billy versus Matthew Morin. And what is the – so Billy has – Billy's coming off of a pretty bad loss last week. But his team is basically, you know, McCaffrey and Mark Andrews. His wide receivers are not great, And this week's especially because Josh Allen is on a bye. So Josh Allen has been awesome. He's averaging like 30-something points a week.
It's insane.
28. Averaging 28 points a week. That's awesome. So I think Billy, he's got some breathing room. I mean, he's 4-2. If he loses this week, it's not the end of the world. And also, if he loses, you know, now Josh Allen's bye is out of the way, so he feels pretty good the rest of the year. I will say I saw a report today that Mark Andrews missed the last two practices with a knee. That could be crippling, literally, for Billy. If he is to miss time, because he's basically been as good as Kelsey this year. I don't know if he's one or two. He's two. But, geez, he's averaging 18 points a week, Mark Andrews. That's insane.
That's a cheat code for fans.
And he would act.
It really is.
And he had one really bad week of 3 points, which is such a statistical outlier right now, that if you take that away, he's averaging over 20 points a week, which that's sick for a tight end. That's crazy.
Who are the top two most points for right now? Just curious. I have a thought, but I don't know if it's going to be accurate.
In the league?
In the league right now. Top two.
Like team totals?
Yep.
Yeah, are we counting fake points or no?
We're counting fake points.
Okay, so if we're counting fake points, then number one is Billy with 726 real points.
Yep.
And then, again, we're counting fake points here. Number two is EY.
Wow. All right, so it's confirmed. It's a tight end. It's a cheat code.
At 725, so a 1 point difference, but... Again, that could be a 1 point difference or like a 400 point difference. We don't know how many of these points are fake, but wow. that is a good call, Ryan. That they have the top two tight ends and they have the most points.
It makes you think a lot.
Well, because I guess at this point in the season, everybody's team is not there's nobody's team that's so bad that they're like they're scraping the bottom of the barrel to get like 100 points a week. So everybody's team is around the same level, I would say, and then. With these two tight ends, you're getting an extra 10 to 15 points a week on average than whoever you're playing. So I guess it makes sense when you add all that up and we're 6 weeks into the season that these guys are pretty far ahead. And then Jake is at 717. He's third. And Jake has had a lot of good luck with tight ends this year.
It's crazy. I mean, if you look at your fantasy matchups as a bunch of little head-to-heads, those are automatic wins every week.
Yeah, I used to say that I used to be against drafting a tight end high, but I think if you redo the draft this year, I mean, obviously Barkley is high, McCaffrey is still very high, Eckler is still very high, but I think Mark Andrews and Kelsey go in the first round at this point, thus far into the season. Like if I had a late first round pick, I would take Mark Andrews, knowing what I know now.
It's true.
So that was we didn't really say anything about Morin's team, so let's just just give him a look. I mean, his team's good. I mean, Lamar Jackson just got shut down by the New York Giants, but there's no shame in that. They're probably one of the best teams in the league this year.
I was listening to something that said if Bateman is in the lineup, Lamar has like 7 or 8 touchdowns on without Bateman in the lineup. I think he has one. And so
that is a shocking stat.
Interesting. Not that Bateman is getting all the touchdowns, but apparently, I guess he just changes a lot of things, or maybe there's no correlation at all.
Maybe he opens up the offense more,
it's more of a saber metric, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, interesting, no doubt. Very interesting. But I mean, you would never bench Lamar probably. I'm not sure what to make of Morin's team. He had that one insane week. I think he had 170 points, I think, recently. So his team definitely has boom potential. Although looking at it right now, it's not one that I'm especially scared of. So, I mean, Derrick Henry hasn't been what he has been historically the past few years. Aaron Jones, I mean, the Packers are kind of lost right now. Mike Evans, I think, is... just a reduced version of what he used to be. Like, he's just not scoring the same amount of points. DJ Moore, another team that's pretty much lost. So I think And now Marquise Brown is on the IR, and he's been great. So that's actually an underrated big loss for Morant. But that about wraps it up.
Yeah,
those
I agree.
Those were the matchups.
Wow, what a pod.
Yeah, so I obviously, you know, yeah, so we're on behalf of the podcast and the studio and the league, you know, we wish Walsh the best. We've received some texts from him. I think right now he's standing outside in his parking lot while the firefighters are going into the barn trying to save as much butter as they can.
Trying to save the butter.
Yeah, and I would not want to be outside in a parking lot in Chicago in late October. I'm sure it's not the warmest. But you know, we're happy that Walsh is okay, and I'm sure we'll try to get him back on the pod as soon as possible to kind of make up for this abbreviated guest appearance.
100%. It's always safety first, and we're thinking of you, Walsh. Hope all is well, and we will we'll see how these matchups shake out. Should be another great week in the league.
Yep. I agree, Ryan, and always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Talk to you soon.
Okay, so long.
All right, good night.